Good morning. Will the Senate Education Committee come to order? Today is Wednesday, March 20th at 8:04, and in attendance are myself, Senator Stevens, Chairman, Vice Chair Senator Dunleavy, Senator President, Senate President Huggins, Senator Gardner, and Senator Stedman. We have a full House, quorum, type business, and today we're going to be taking up Senate Bill 57 relating to three issues: early literacy, people transportation, and teacher notices for layoff and non-retention. And following that, we'll then go on to a confirmation hearing for the appointees to the Alaska Professional Teaching Practice Commission. This is the second hearing on Senate Bill 57. My intention today is to review a change in the bill and seek the will of the committee. We haven't yet closed out public testimony, so there'll be an opportunity for others who wish to testify to offer that testimony, and still time to do that. At this time, I'd ask for a motion to adopt CS before us as a working document.
As the chair, I move we adopt Senate Bill 57, version 28-LS0474-N as our working document.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. I'll object so we can discuss the motion and call upon committee aide Tim Lampkin to describe the changes in the CS.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Before you this morning is Senate Bill 57, version N. There's one simple change to this bill, but I'll go ahead and explain the other sections as a reminder from our last hearing. The change is on page 1 of line 7. At the request of the department in discussing it with them, and in reflection of the fiscal note, to avoid hiring additional staff at the state level to coordinate data with the local districts and gathering information about parents statewide at a local level, they suggested that we have that responsibility placed on the school board and school districts, since they already have that data information and parents are more accustomed to receiving information directly from the districts as opposed to the state. And so that change was accommodated. That is just in regard to publishing pamphlets and distributing information to parents at the local level. Subsection B on page 2, the state would still maintain an effort through local media outlets to have a publicity campaign to promote parental involvement and early literacy by third grade. Section 2 of the bill on page 2 reflects the CPI adjustment annually based on the Anchorage inflationary CPI index there. That is consistent with language that was passed unanimously by the Senate last year. That's in regard to pupil transportation. Section 3 is what's commonly referred to as the pink slip section, whereas in instances where school districts are not aware of their budgetary levels or expectations, they're obliged to, by March 16th, to issue what's called pink slips to allow non-tenured faculty to be notified of a potential layoff or non-retention the following school year. This is an effort to synchronize the budget process of our legislature with that date, rather than creating unnecessary angst and anxiety at the district level, particularly amongst the classrooms. In my research on that note, Mr. Chairman, Section 3, that language has been on the books for quite some time. I've traced it as far as 1949. That section has been changed quite a bit, particularly 1966, where they overhauled those laws on the books, but they have maintained that March 16th date for many, many decades. Section 4 would repeal the law that was passed last year with regard to pupil transportation that fixed it at 1.5%. As you may know, the average approximate CPI actual inflation rate is in the neighborhood of 3% annually. And then finally, or Section 5 is applicability language necessary for existing contracts as it relates to the pink slip provision, allowing those contracts to expire before we introduce this new date of May 15th. And then finally, the final Section 6 there applies the effective date of July 2013. I'd be happy to entertain any questions, but I would also like to defer them to the department and or superintendents that I believe are online.
Thank you, Senator Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two questions, and I talked with Tim about this yesterday. I'd just like it on the record that making the shift of the responsibility for providing the information to parents in Section 1, changing that to school districts, does also mean that school districts can do that, make that information available by sending it home in kid backpacks or make them available. They don't have to spend postage and on the cost to distribute it. That's one thing. And sorry, I keep doing that.
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, that's correct. It is known that a number of districts around the state are already doing these activities, but this is an effort by the state or the legislature to make a statement that this should be done by every district.
Okay, thank you. And then under Section 2, do we have a fiscal note for the change in using the Consumer Price Index for per-student transportation?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, there is a fiscal note in your packet. The original fiscal note reflects personal services of $97,500, and effectively in conversation with the department, that's how that fiscal note will be adjusted, is to remove that $97,000.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Gardner. And maybe could the department come up and address that one issue of is there someone from the department here? Yes, that one issue of by going from changing the wording from the department to the school district, that does make less of a requirement on the department in terms of staffing. Thank you. And for the record, please.
Good morning. My name is Susan McCauley. I'm Director of Teaching and Learning Support for the department.
Thank you.
The previous fiscal note reflected the previous language in the bill, which would have the department annually contact the parents of 45,000 students regarding the distribution of material related to early literacy, as indicated in the bill, intervention strategies and so on. The change, putting that responsibility at the district level, will have impact on the fiscal note because that contact will then be from the district to the parents. It does maintain, the bill language does maintain the department's responsibility for an annual media campaign, but our previous note, fiscal note indicated those expenses as quite minimal. So yes, it will result in a change to our fiscal note.
And Susan, I know in talking with you earlier, you felt there'd be no loss in success of this. It would, for the department to do it, it would mean a staff, it would mean following all the students doing and being able to contact them all, whereas, as I recall, talking with yourself, Commissioner, that it makes more sense to have the school districts do that because they already have that information. Any
Absolutely.
Further explanation?
Yeah, Chair Stevens, they also maintain, this is in part a response to Senator Gardner's inquiry as well, they often have electronic newsletters that go out on a regular basis. Those mechanisms for parent contact are well in place, either directly from in most districts, if not all districts, either directly from the district level to parents or from the school level to parents, either electronically or, as Senator Gardner said, in kids' backpacks, and so to speak.
Thank you. And as we move this over into the responsibility of the school district, the department is also providing information to them, right? They'll give them the handouts and the brochures and all that sort of thing. That's still the plan.
Chair Stevens, it is. I think that we want to think through how to ensure that the information provided to parents is consistent and accurate and reflects current research regarding early literacy. So while the fiscal note and the staff position in the note reflected the need to directly contact and ensure contact with parents, there will still be some responsibility for ensuring that the information provided reflects accurate research-based information. So we'll need to work through what that looks like, but it will result in a reduced fiscal note.
Thank you, Susan. Further questions of the department? Senator Stebbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just on Section 2, just backing up a little bit, just a basic concern here that the next committee referral could deal with. But when we start doing indexing into the CPI, we start building in formula-driven issues. I think going forward, we're going to have some revenue changes to the downward side, and we have expenditure challenges in the operating budget, a lot of which is driven by formula issues that the Finance Committee is going to have to deal with over the next several years. So I'm a little concerned that when we start embedding more formula-driven issues within our operating budget, and education being one of the largest, it just compounds the challenge that we're going to be walking into, regardless of what happens to this oil tax discussion. Mm-hmm. It's the operating budget has its own issues.
Thank you, Senator Simon. But you're comfortable moving this on to the finance and having them deal with those disclosures?
Mr. Chairman, it's finance, Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Further comments from the committee? And I think we've had the department speak to us, so at this point, I'd ask if there are any comments from the public. We have a few people signed up. Let's start with Dave Jones from Kenai Schools. Dave, can you hear us?
Yes, Senator Stevens and members of the committee. Previously testified in favor of all aspects of this bill. Was here today to take questions and, again, urge you to move this bill on. Appreciate your support of education.
Thank you, Dave. Luke Fulp and Palmer. Luke, any comments you may have?
Yes, thank you for hearing our testimony this morning, Senator Stevens and members of the Senate Education Committee. Like Dave Jones, we provided testimony this past Wednesday and are just here to answer any questions. We're in support of this bill, all components. Thank you.
Thank you, Luke, and thank you, Katie Gardner, for being with us. Peggy Cohen from Barrow, any comments you may have?
I'll just echo my colleagues. This is Peggy Cowan. For the record, North Slope Borough School District Superintendent. I'm calling in to support this bill, to ask you to move it on, to thank you for your support of education, and to answer any questions. Many of these issues are statewide issues. They deal with issues that affect both rural and urban school districts, and including the CPI and for pupil transportation. In particular, the pupil transportation, covering pupil transportation in with state funds will help us better get closer to that 70-30 target. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cohen. Let's go on to the room here. John Alcantara, good to see you, John. Please come forward for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, John Alcantara. I do government relations for NEA Alaska's 13,000 members. Good morning, Senators. Nice to see everybody here today. Sorry I was absent last week and enjoying spring break with my children in Palmer, so I feel like I'm a little bit behind the curve, but I did produce a letter today, unfortunately just in hard copy, and I'll make sure I get an electronic copy to Mr. Lampkin later, but a letter from President Ron for supporting SB 57. Certainly unequivocal support for sections 1 and 2 and the pupil transportation and the early literacy. The dates of the teacher tenure to May 15th, there are some concerns that our members have about that. In your letter, they talk about April 20th as a compromise date. Certainly folks understand legislative business isn't completed till around mid-April, and that's a issue that's trying to be addressed here. I don't know which adage to fall back on, either don't throw the baby out with the bathwater or don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, and I think this is a good bill. We'll work at the next committee maybe to try to see about compromise on maybe making a change on that date, but certainly appreciate your work, Mr. Chairman, and the work of the committee members on this legislation, and hope you can move Senate Bill 57.
Thank you very much, John. Any questions for Mr. Alcantara?
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Bruce Johnson, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Bruce Johnson, the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators, and you've heard a lot from our members, and they're highly supportive of this bill, and we thank you for hearing it. If there's any questions that I could answer, I'd be happy to do so. This, I think, will make good sense for us, and just a brief comment on the final issue that regarding non-retention and layoffs. Districts aren't going to wait until May 15th to determine whether or not they're going to keep tenured and non-tenured teachers. I mean, because they're going to all be out looking for jobs. And that's just not going to happen. So I think you can rest assured that our districts will approach that in a highly professional manner, give themselves a cushion if necessary, if funding is unknown at that particular point in time. And certainly we have districts issuing contracts right now in rural Alaska in February in order to get their staffing plan in place. They leave room to be sure that they can meet all of their fiscal responsibilities. So I don't think that's as draconian as it sounds in terms of waiting till the last minute. I think we'll handle that in a very professional and in a way that protects our teaching staff.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Senator Gardner.
Two quick questions. Do you think that we could anticipate that the dates of the job fairs would change given this date here of May 15th?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, my sense is probably not, because the rest of the nation operates kind of around those same timelines that we do. And there again, that's why I believe that districts will do their ultimate to determine who's going to be retained in their district, so that they're in a position to go to those job fairs, not just the state job fair in mid-April, but job fairs that start earlier in the continental USA.
Thank you. And then secondly, if I might, Mr. Chair,
yes,
would your association have an opinion about the potential amendment to the April 20th date?
We haven't discussed that through the chair, Senator Gardner. We haven't discussed that specifically. Obviously, from a management standpoint, it's good to have as great flexibility as possible so that you can make the very, very best decisions for your teaching and administrative staff.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Gardner. Thank you very much. Ms. Johnson, good to see you again. And with that, any further discussion, comments anyone cares to make, anyone online to give public testimony? If not, then we'll close the public testimony and see if there's any further comments or discussions from members of the committee. Senator Gardner.
Okay, I'll bite.
Sure.
I don't know how my colleagues here will feel about an amendment to the April 20th date, but I'm in the belief that this is an education issue where the Education Committee and the bill should go in the way we think best and not rely on another committee to do something that we think should be changed. And I'd like to offer an amendment to change the date to April 20th as a compromise, that the April 20th date is after the legislature is supposed to have adjourned. School districts should know what their funding is or have a pretty darn good idea. And I think it meets the needs for the teachers and for the districts.
Thank you, Senator Gardner. And frankly, I see no major problem with that. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't favor the amendment. I'm sorry, to the chair. I would not favor the amendment. I wouldn't vote for the amendment. You've got one group, NEA, that has put forth this amendment. The Administrative Association has not had a time to look at the amendment or vet the amendment, and I would imagine that the School Boards Association would also support the May 15th deadline. So if it comes up, I'd vote against it.
Thank you. Does the department have any position or thoughts on this? Senator Hines, and please come on forward.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might, we just heard from Bruce Johnson that, you know, the management can exercise the date they want. So if they want to exercise Senator Gardner's date, they can do that. But that it was to the advantage to have maximum flexibility, I think it's to the advantage of the employees. And additionally, the 20th might be better, the 25th. So, I would just encourage us to look at the maximum advantage from a standpoint of both the employee and the management.
Yes. Just one more comment to the chair also. And I could be wrong, but I apologize. I thought I heard Mr. Alcantara on behalf of NEA saying that there was an understanding that moving the date as it is as close as possible to the end of this legislative session gives folks, school districts, more of an opportunity to understand what the budgetary outlook is going to be. And by putting it at April 15th, we may not end at April 15th this year. And we certainly won't know as the dust settles what's actually going to be in the budget. So, again, I would maintain that we stay with what is in the bill as is.
Thank you. Department have any comments on this?
Susan McCauley, Director of Teaching and Learning Support. Through the chair, it seems that Senator Dunleavy's comments more address concerns best, I think, communicated by either Mr. Alcantara or Mr. Johnson, rather than the department.
Okay, thank you. Now, there's no rush on this. If this is an issue that we need further information on, I'm perfectly willing to hold it over and deal with it later, or to move it ahead. What does the committee think?
Take it to the next committee referral.
And have them deal with it there.
Then I'll withdraw my offered amendment.
Oh, thank you. Good. Well, I think then this is an issue that we think needs further discussion. Appreciate Mr. Johnson's comments that this would not be an absolute date, that you'd move ahead as quickly as you can in hiring your teachers, and John's comments that John LeCantre's comments that has some concern there. So this can be dealt with at a further committee. Okay. Any further discussion on the part of the committee? No further discussion, questions or amendments, then what is the will of the committee? And Senator Dunleavy.
And through the chair, you're removing your objection, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I'm removing my objection. You're right.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that we move CS for SB 57 version N from committee with individual recommendations and forthcoming fiscal note.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that? Objection. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 57 version N is moved from committee with individual recommendations and a forthcoming fiscal note. Take a brief at ease here. If we come back to order, please, we're going to be interviewing and doing confirmations on the Alaska Professional Teaching Practices Commission. I think we have four people here and maybe a fifth with Mr. Laster here. Let's move on then to David Devon.
He's not here.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay. And Eric Fry. Eric? Thank you for being with us, Eric. If you put your name on the record, please.
Eric Fry.
And who do you represent, Eric?
The Department of Education and Early Development.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So tell us about the Alaska Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Why do you want to serve on it?
Two reasons. Mainly, I'm a parent, and I had two kids who went through the public schools, so I know how important it is. And the other reason, frankly, is that the commissioner at the time, Larry Ledoux, asked me to, and I wanted to do my bit for the department. And a lot of people in the department have to travel a lot. I don't travel as much, so this is something I could do to help out.
Well, thank you. We remember Larry Ledoux fondly as a commissioner of education. And so how long have you actually served then, Eric?
3 years.
3 years. Okay. Thank you. For the questions of Mr. Fry. And the reason you want to continue is?
I'm very impressed with the commission and with the teachers. You know, most of the folks on the commission are members of a teachers or administrators union. And I haven't seen any effort on their part to lessen any complaints or any flaws that show up from their members of their profession. They're very dedicated to dealing with people who misbehave. And I'm very impressed with the executive director, who does a great deal of work. She does a lot of outreach, talking to teachers and school districts on what the ethics rules are. So she weeds out a lot of problems way in advance. And then when she gets complaints, she works with people and says, have you resolved it locally? Is this something you can handle locally before we touch it? And then she takes a lot of complaints and works them into voluntary stipulations. In the 3 years I've been there, there's been just one formal hearing, so that must save the state a lot of money. You know, we have attorneys and Department of Law and so forth. And so the director, Patricia Truman, does a great job. You know, she does the lion's share of the work, really. Most of the complaints we get are teachers who have left their contracts before they're over. And so districts have the option of asking for there to be some kind of consequence for that. And usually we suspend the certificate for a year, so there's some disincentive, because it's a tremendous problem for school districts to have to fill in a teacher unexpectedly. And of course, it's unfair to the teachers. But really, in the 3 years I've been there, there have been hardly any instances apart from that in which a teacher has in any way harmed a child. The other disputes are often teachers who don't get along with each other, and some of the ethics rules are, you know, supposed to disparage each other. And so in some of these small communities, there sometimes are personality conflicts that develop where people make complaints about each other. But when you think that the teaching profession has maybe, what, about 8,000 public school teachers, we get maybe 40 or 50 cases a year, maybe 20 final orders. Half of those are teachers leaving before their contract's over. So, you know, it seems to me that the teaching profession in Alaska is doing a very good job in following the rules of ethics.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. So the time commitment is fairly minimal.
It really is for commissioners, unless there were a bunch of formal hearings. Right. And I think there were in the past. But now it's just three short meetings a year in which the directors really worked out the vast majority of the problems with people. So it runs very smoothly.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. Any further questions? Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Let's see. Is Mr. Laster here then? Mr. Laster, please come forward. That too.
You go wait just 1 minute.
Thank you for being here, Mr. Laster. You're from Juneau Muscle.
Yes.
If you'd identify yourself for the record, then.
Sure. For the record, Senator Stevens, I'm Marty Laster, and I'm the director of the Ed Leadership Program at the University of Alaska Southeast.
Thank you, Mr. Laster. And have you served on this commission?
No, I am the higher ed rep that it was appointed just two or three meetings ago.
I see. So what do you bring to the commission then?
Well, I think I bring a couple of things. One is by design there is a higher ed rep. But also, as Senator Dunleavy knows, I was a superintendent in the state for about 20 years, and prior to that a principal and a teacher. So I bring that experience as well.
Well, thank you. That's good to hear, Marty, that you've had all those years of experience. So what do you anticipate this is going to be on time-wise? Is it?
I really don't believe it'll be burdensome at all, and I consider it to be an honor, to be honest. The fellow commissioners are very dedicated, very representative of the state. I feel it's giving back to the state because there is a dual emphasis. The primary emphasis, obviously, is the protection of those in our care. But also there is the protection of the people in the profession. And the third is to take appropriate action when someone has abused that privilege. So I do not see it onerous at all, Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Marty. So what communities have you taught? And
well, I was assistant soup in Mat-Su. Mm-hmm. I was an interim superintendent in on the North Slope. I was superintendent in Craig, and I was superintendent for about 10 years in the Puget Sound region.
Well, thank you, Marty. You certainly cover the state and appreciate your years of service and dedication to education and Alaska. Further questions from anyone? Senator Gardner.
Yeah, I'm interested in your list of publications, selected papers and such. Can you just, I know it's a little bit off our topic here, but I'm just sort of curious about your theme of the extracurricular activities as predictors of success. And then also the urban and rural, where was that title? Was that
my dissertation?
Applies? Yeah.
For the chair. Those are two very interesting topics. One, I imagine, I was sort of an indentured servant when I got my doctorate. I worked for the University of Denver in the Bureau of Educational Research. And I think that a superintendent must have said something like, there are better predictors than grades for life success. And that got assigned to me. And I found it, like you, to be a very interesting topic. And what I found was that the whole range, and I've come to train myself now to talk about co-curricular, but at the time I called them extracurricular. Mm-hmm. But the idea of music, student council, football, basketball, debate, the whole range of activities, the more that a student participated in a wide range of activities, the more likely they were to be successful in further pursuits of education, and actually in the limited studies that had done follow-up, to be happy, productive citizens. And I attribute that to having multiple deadlines, like all of us have, different audiences, different communication styles for each one of those activities. And so those students had mastered how to prioritize, how to speak effectively to the target audience. I would love to go back and do a follow-up on it, but like you, I found it to be very interesting. The second one was my actual dissertation. And it was done for the Colorado School Boards, State Board of Education, and the Department of Education. It was about gifted services and about whether there was equity between the range of rural to urban. And Colorado had done a very good job of defining that from rural mountainous, rural agricultural to suburban to outlying city. At any rate, what you would expect is what I found, is that the greater the economy of scale, the greater the ability of a district to provide opportunities for advanced students.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you, Marty. I think we could spend a couple hours on this. And,
exactly. Really, I realize that.
I mean, it's a wonderful discussion. So in the end, you would say that simply being able to fill in the right bubble out of four doesn't necessarily equal an education or
that is
success.
Correct.
Thank you.
I would.
Really appreciate your comments. Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you for the honor.
Dr. Laster, thanks so much. David Devon, is David here on? I did not understand. I can't understand what you're saying.
He's teaching right now.
He's teaching, okay.
David's here.
Hi, David. Glad to have you with us. And would you identify yourself for the record, David?
My name is David Devon.
And you are calling us from North Pole, David?
Actually, I'm on Eielson Air Force Base right now, but yeah, I live in North Pole, yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. Say that again?
I live in North Pole, yes.
Okay. Thank you. David, have you served on this commission in the past?
I have not. This would be my first opportunity to do so.
Well, thank you. And what do you think you bring to the commission that that would be valuable?
You know, 13 years of teaching experience, and coaching experience, working with kids. I'm a product of the Fairbanks-North-Scarborough School District. I graduated from here. I think I could bring kind of a fresh new insight and help the commission do, keep continuing the good work that they do.
Thank you, Mr. Devon. Any questions, David? Thank you, sir, very much. We appreciate your being here. Any further comments you care to make?
No. Thank you very much, though, for this opportunity.
Thank you. Let's move on to Melody Mann. Melody, are you with us?
Yes.
Thank you, Melody. If you'd identify yourself for the record.
Melody Mann.
And what do you do, Melanie?
I teach art at Colony High School in the Master Valley.
Great. Thank you, Melody, for being with us. Have you served on this commission in the past?
No, sir.
And what do you think you bring to the commission?
Probably similar to David. I'm a product of Alaska Public Schools, and I have, in teaching in the community where I was educated, I've been teaching here for 20 years, and I've taught in rural Alaska as well. I truly believe and I'm honored to teach in our great state.
Thank you very much, Melody. Further questions? Thank you for being with us. Let's move on to Frances Roberts from Homer.
Yes, good morning. This is Francie Roberts from Homer, Alaska.
Thank you. And you said Francie?
Francie is my name. My real name is Francis, is probably what's before you there. But
yes, it is.
People
okay.
call me Francis.
Thank you, Francia. And then comments, Francia, on why you wish to serve on the commission?
Well, I think I bring several things to the table. I'm a brand new appointee like the previous two people. I've taught for 19 years at Homer High School, but I've lived in Alaska for 40 years. Education is my second career. I worked for the National Weather Service before I worked for as a teacher. I have a master's degree from Montana State, and I've been very involved in the education profession. I've been on my school site council. I've been a building representative for my union. I serve on the Homer City Council. I've been on the Homer City Council for 7 years, so I have a lot of experience in meetings and how you adjudicate things, which a lot of this commission does. I've always been interested in being fair and equal-minded towards people, and I think that this commission focuses on a lot of the things that I think are important to do.
Thank you, Francie. I appreciate your comments, and now I recognize the name from the City Council. Thank you for your service to Alaska and education.
Mm-hmm.
Further questions? Senator Gardner.
Thank you, and thank you also again for your willingness to serve. I'm looking at your education listings, and you say you have a master's in mathematics, MSMME program. Just out of curiosity, what is MSMME?
Master's of Science in Math and Education.
Thank you.
With an emphasis in education.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Francie. Very interesting that you would go from one career to teaching. We're always glad to see people success in one career go into teaching, and I'm sure you're a great teacher. Thank you so much for your comments.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be on this commission.
Yes, so we have no further individuals to hear from. We've heard from all five.
Through the chair, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to forward those names to the Alaska Professional Teaching Practices Commission to a joint session of the legislature for confirmation.
Thank you, Senator Levy. Is there any objection to that? If not, they will be forwarded. And